know, I'm thankful today for light. Amen. Because where would we be but in darkness? The Bible prophesied in the last days that it would be gross darkness over the people. Is that right? And so the only safe place is light. You know, there was a time in Egypt, there was a plague that struck, and there was no light anywhere in Egypt. You could go to the house of Pharaoh, you could go to the fields, wherever you went, there was no light, but there was one place there was light, in Goshen. Is that right? Where God's people was, there was light. Is that right? Amen. We're so happy to be with each one today. You can have your seats for a few moments here. We're going to have an ordination. I'm not exactly sure how I'm going to do it. We might have prayer at the end of service and then do it afterwards, kind of like a baptismal here. I wanted to say a few things if I could, just me saying it before we get into the Word this morning, if that's all right with everyone. I was looking up some things about ordination. I just wanted to read a few things, a couple scriptures for the occasion, if that's all right. Paul talks to Timothy in 1 and 2 Timothy, and in 1 Timothy he says this. He tells Timothy, he says, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." He says, "Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which is given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery." He says, "Meditate upon these things." Amen. So he had give me a little volume. I'm not real loud yet. Maybe in a few minutes, but. He said, "You have a gift, but don't neglect it." He says, "I want you to meditate upon it, and I want you to give yourself to it." Now, that's not just the ministry, that's any gift, amen? But today we're talking about the ministry specifically. He says, "Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all." So the desire is, and the Bible says the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. It's for God to do something with you, amen? God has a purpose for you. He says, "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this," and I believe this, as we're talking about our brother Andrew today, as we're getting ready to ordain him here, he says, "For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." I think it's a very serious thing, you know, and we can say it's serious, and we believe it's serious, but if you're in the ministry especially, if there's any burden or fear of God about it, you realize the gravity of it, you realize the accountability of it. It's not a fun thing, it's not a game, it's a very serious matter. You have to account not just for your soul, but for the souls of others, those that you speak to. James says in James chapter 3, he says, "Be not many masters," or the words teachers in the Hebrew, or the Greek rather, "among you, knowing that we receive the greater condemnation." So it's a thing that we take upon us because it's needful, and because there's a gift, there's a calling, amen? And so I say that because the Bible says to pray for them that labor among you. You pray for our brother because he has to account one day for these that the Lord has given him, amen? 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, Paul says, "I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which first dwelt in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also." Now notice he was persuaded there was this gift in him. He says, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." So he noticed something here, and Brother Rams talks about this in 1962. He preaches in ordination. He says this. He says, "Now, in the Bible times, the way they ordained a minister was by recognizing a gift of God in this ministry." He says, "I think that's where our Latter-day Saint," or he's our, not Latter-day Saint, I beg you, "the Latter Rain Brethren made a terrible mistake by laying on hands and saying, 'Well, we give you the gift of healing. We give you the gift of prophecy.'" He says, "There's no such thing. Gifts and callings are without repentance. God gives. God has set in the church apostles, prophets, and so forth. There's no such thing as a man, as one man giving another man a gift." Amen. Now, if I could give you the gift, it's like Brother Bram said, I'd give you all the gift of healing. Is that right? But it's not that God gives the gift. That's what makes it special. Because God gives the gift. Amen. Amen. The gift comes from God and God alone. And you come into the church, you're born into it. There's no other way of getting into it. He says, "And then you're a member of a family and of God, being a son and daughter of God, not an organization, but a member of the family." Now, in the Bible times, like he said, they take the scripture over there where Paul said to Timothy that he had the gift ministered to him. He said, "Well," he said, "it come from his grandmother Lois." See, this gift had come from his grandmother, it was handed down to him. They noticed in him, now watch, they observed something. They noticed him being a staunch Christian, also a gift of speaking. And they laid hands upon him as a recognition. Amen? Yes. The elders of the church laid hands upon him, recognizing this man and placing the apostolic ministry of laying hands on him that he would go and preach the gospel. Sent out by a witness of these brethren, they believed that the gift of God was working in him. That's the way they did also to the ministers, by laying on hands and the giving of the right hand of fellowship. He says to work together as an agreement before God. Amen. So we've come together today to agree before God that they seen this gift working in this brother and that he was called for something and we believed it. Amen. He says, and they laid hands on him that God would bless him, and it was a sanction. Amen. Now, part of the reason I'm not trying to stall so much today, but I'm waiting is, the idea here is that we've made an agreement as a witness. And so I've asked another minister to come and I'm waiting on him. If he doesn't show up soon, we'll have it at the end of service. But I thought it was important because, I have confidence in these brothers. And personally, I've known them for a long time. And, I might talk about it here in just a minute, but, I remember when I first met Brother Andrew, we worked at the Ponderosa, and, he would try to witness to me, and I was stubborn, but that's because I like to give him a hard time. And he used to get aggravated with me, and we fought like cats and dogs, and he's matured a lot since then, and I don't know if I have, but he has, so he's learned to put up with me. But, I remember when I first got saved, it seemed like a silly thing. We turned a testimony at church. It was a machine that cooked the food at Ponderosa one day, and it broke down. We couldn't fix it. And it was always breaking down because, anybody that works a job, they never fix anything at work. And you know how they are. Well, it costs us $10 to get a new part. Oh, okay. So anyhow, and so we laid hands on this thing. We prayed for it, and it came back on. And it seemed like such as maybe a silly thing, but we had faith. We believed God. And that's just how we were. And I believe it's how we are today. We just believe God. It might seem foolish. Brother Bram talked about chewing each other's chewing gum. We went and did that. To gross some of you out, but we went and did that. I think I started. I let him finish, but we just took God at his word. And that's the thing about a young Christian. So many times that they don't have all the ideas that we get going on. But I've seen in our brother, his life, his testimony, I've seen God work in his life. I believe you have as well. That's why you're here today. And so Brother Branham says, I want to read one more quote. And I think this is relevant because I believe that he's more than just being a good Christian. I believe he's got a ministry. I believe God's called him that. I believe God's placed him in that. And Brother Branham talks about this. And the seven church ages, he talks about the apostle Paul. He said, Paul, he founded the church of Ephesus about the middle of the first century. And he says, this enables us to set the date of the beginning of the Ephesian church age about 53 AD. He said, his manner of ministering set the pattern for all future messengers were to aspire to. And he says, and actually sets the pattern for every true minister of God, though he would not attain to such heights in the prophetic realm as Paul did. Paul's ministry had a threefold quality and was as follows. And I would like to talk about this just for a moment with our brother Andrew today, because I believe that, as the prophet said, every ministry should have this quality. And I believe that I've seen this in his life, and I pray you bear witness of it as well. And I'll just kind of go through this briefly. But he said, first of all, he said, Paul was absolutely true to the word. Amen. He never deviated. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. If you believe that about our brother, say amen. Amen. He was absolutely true to the word. He never deviated from it, no matter what the cost. Galatians 1:8-9, though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we've preached, let him be accursed. As we've said before, so say now again, if any man preach another gospel unto you than that which we have received, let him be accursed. Amen. Skipping now, he says, notice that Paul was unorganized, but spirit-led. And when God moved upon Moses to lead Israel out of Egypt, Jerusalem's council never sent Paul out. He said, nor did they have any power or jurisdiction over him. God and God alone did the sending and the leading. Paul was not of men, but of God. Amen. His first quality is true to the word. Secondly, his ministry was in the power of the Spirit. Now, I don't know where he put all them notes at, but I mean, we believe in the Spirit, the power of the Spirit of God. Is that right? Paul believed that. He said that was the gospel. Is that right? Thereby demonstrating the spoken and written word. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and I, brethren, when I came unto you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. He said, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trouble. This was not a man that was always on top of the world and he could look down and say, well, don't you wish you were as spiritual as me? This is a man that had weakness and trembling. They could identify with him. They were companions, the Bible said, in tribulation. Amen. He was someone that was willing to put his shoulder to your shoulder and say, we're going to work this out together. We're going to believe God together. Amen. He says, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit.